The rescue of a rebel is our subject for this evening. And our text is there in that verse 5. Verse 5 we read, then Adoniah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. This man called Adoniah was the fourth son of King David. He was the brother of Absalom. It is evident that David had high hopes for him when he was born, for he called him Adoniah. The name Adoniah means Jah is my Lord, or Jehovah is my Lord. Evidently, David hoped the day would come when his son would acknowledge Jehovah as his Lord. But Adoniah did not turn out the way that David no doubt expected. Interesting that Adoniah was David's fourth son. We know what four in the Bible speaks of. Four is the number of the world. And when you look at Adoniah, he was a man of the world. He loved the world. He behaved like the world. And looking at the life of Adoniah, rather than making Jehovah his Lord, he instead was a very worldly individual. Because, as we will see, he was a very proud individual, very self-centered, self-promoting individual. Thought about nobody but himself. David had chosen Solomon as his successor. Solomon would be king in Israel. But Adoniah did not accept David's choice and would not acknowledge Solomon as king. Adoniah is the picture of the sinner who refuses to acknowledge Christ as king. Interesting. The name Solomon. Solomon means peace. And of course, he reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus is the one who gives peace. So let us take a look at this man, Adoniah. Let us see that he was indeed a rebel, but how he was rescued. I want first of all to look at his rebellion. Apart from being told in 2 Samuel 3 verse 4, we're just given the detail there that Adoniah was David's fourth son. That's all we're told about him there. But when we get now to 1 Kings, we are introduced to him. We get a look at his life, how he lived and how he behaved. We're told that first impressions last. Well, when you look at Adoniah, the first impression we have of him, not very attractive. Not very attractive at all. But we read there in our text in the verse 5, then Adonai, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Remember, Solomon has already been chosen to be king. But here Adonai says, no, I will be king. He exalts himself. Here we see his rebellious spirit. His rebellious spirit. Knowing that Solomon had been chosen as king of Israel, not only by David, but he was chosen by God to be king in Israel. Yet, Adonai says, I will be king. I will sit upon the throne. Then we'll see where this rebellious spirit came from. We go over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Remember again what Adonai said? The claim he uttered, I will be king. Well, we look at Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above all the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Lucifer, satanic individual, said, I will be king. I will sit upon the throne. And in as many words, here we have Adonai saying the very same thing. Rebelling against Solomon, rebelling against David, rebelling against God. I will be king. He had the same rebellious nature as Lucifer. This Adonai aspired to be the one who would sit upon the throne of Israel. He was a rebel. He was rejecting God's chosen king. He was rejecting Solomon. Oh, how many Adonais are there today? They reject God's chosen king. They have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And so we here have Adonai wanting to be king. That means he would not have Solomon to rule over him. No. You're not of Solomon ruling over him. What does that remind us of? We go on forward the years to Calvary. To Christ in the judgment hall. And how the people, the multitude cried out, we will not have this man to rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. They were rebels. They rebelled against the Lord. Many there are today who say the same thing. We will not have this man to rule over us. As well as a rebellious spirit. You see, he was rebelliously selfish. Even though his father David was aged and infirm, and confined to his bed. Adonijah thought nothing of David, his father. Nothing at all. Even though Solomon was the chosen king, he thought nothing of Solomon. Even though Solomon had been chosen to be Israel's king by God, still, he thought nothing of God. Look at verse 30. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. God told David, your son Solomon will sit upon the throne. No one else but Solomon. But Adonijah didn't accept that, because he's a rebel. No room for King Solomon in his life. No room for Solomon's God in his life. He lived only for self. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. There it is. Exalted himself. He had no room for anyone but self. And those who live without God, and those who live only for self, will come to a very sad end. Turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke's Gospel in the chapter 12. Here's a perfect example of what we're saying. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Notice the number of times he spoke about himself. I will, I will, I will. Then he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God. He never reckoned with God. He never thought about God. He only lived for self. A New Testament Adonijah. He only lived for self. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Thou fool, this night. What did he say? Say to my soul, there's much good laid up for many years. God said, this night. And you think of that day, to take him to a place of burial. His casket went down the street. The mourners followed. And observers stood at the side of the road and said, there goes the remains of a successful businessman. God had a very different verdict. God said, there goes the remains of the fool. Because he left God out of his life. Adonijah left God out of his life. I will exalt myself. I will be king. So we see his rebellious spirit. He was rebelliously selfish. We see also his rebellious supporters. Oh, he was so sure that he would be king. He arranged his coronation and asked certain individuals to come and support him. And there were those who did willingly. You will always get those who will support you as you live for the world and live without God. You'll always get those to support you to do that. And Adonijah, the rebel, and those who supported him. Look again at our text. He said, I will be king. And he prepared his chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. He went through the whole charade. Verse 9. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of that of Zeholab, which is by Enrogel. And this is what he did. Look. He called all his brethren king's sons. In other words, he called all his brethren, you're my son, I'm the king. You're sons of the king. Talk about being rebellious. He called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. What a rebellious individual he was. And we find they all supported him. All whom he had invited to his coronation, they supported him. And in so doing, they all took their stand against against Solomon. In supporting Adonijah, they rejected King Solomon, God's chosen king. We go over into the New Testament. You go there to Matthew 27. The Lord Jesus, there he stands before Pilate. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all cried out, crucify him. The chief priests, the elders, the multitude. None of them wanted to accept Christ as king. There is no difficulty finding people who will reject the Lord Jesus. Anyone who shows any interest in the Lord Jesus, anyone who shows any interest in being saved, you'll get those who will argue against you. You might say, Dory and I were going together, there was a gospel mission came to our area. That's before we're saved, of course. And Dory wanted to go to a faith mission. It was held in a tent. She invited me to go. I said, I don't know why I want to go there for. No! And no interest in going to the tent gospel mission. There was Dorian talking about going to hear the gospel. And I said, no, I don't want to go there. You'll always get those who'll stand against you if you show any interest in the gospel. Are you show any interest in Christ? Are you show any interest in salvation? They'll tell you, what do you want to do that for? Come with us and we will do thee good. Come with us. Come to the bar. Come to the club. You'll enjoy yourself there. So it was with Adonijah. He had his rebellious supporters. And adjoining with Adonijah, they were taking their stand against the king, King Solomon. So we have his rebellion. Next we see his realization. They always talk about the chickens coming home to roost. The chickens came home to roost for Adonijah. David was informed about the plan and the purposes of Adonijah and his claim to be king. David was informed. Remember, David was aged now and infirm. There he lay in his bed. When he was formed, David made a declaration. We notice the declaration. David wanted to be known that Solomon was king, not Adonijah. Verse 39. Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. David wanted to make it known far and wide that this Adonijah was only a rebel. He was only a rebel. Solomon was king. And just as Bathsheba, when she came to King David to inform him of Adonijah's plan, she bowed herself before him. Verse 16. And so, when Solomon would be king, those who would come before King Solomon, they would bow before him. They bowed before King David. They would bow before King Solomon. What does this remind us of? Reminds us of one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what will every man and woman do when they stand before King Jesus? Romans 14:11. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. Christ was saying, every knee, think of that, every knee, generations past, generations present, generations to come, every knee shall bow before King Jesus and acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, Paul again says that he is the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those who refuse to bow before King Jesus now will bow before him one day when all will stand before God. Revelation 20 and 12. They will stand before God, the small and the great, rich and the poor, religious and irreligious, of every tongue of every nation will stand before God, and every knee, mark that, every knee shall bow before King Jesus. It would be better to bow before King Jesus now. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus as King now. For in heaven they will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He's the one we'll stand before one day. We notice also not only the declaration that Solomon was king, we notice the desertions. Look at the desertions now. Remember? All the Adonai's friends, so-called. All those who supported him. All those who came to his coronation. All those whom he called the king's sons. There they were sitting at a coronation feast. And when Solomon was anointed and trumpets were blown, those sitting at that feast wondered what that great noise was all about. The desertions. Look at verse 46. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. Verse 49. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, look, and rose up and went every man his way. The desertions. All his friends who supported him in rejecting King Solomon now deserted him. And he's left alone. Left alone to face the king that he had rejected. Left alone to face the wrath of the king that he had rejected. And how this solemnly reminds us of what happens when a soul rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. When the gospel is preached and the hearer rejects Christ, they'll stand before him one day and they'll not have a friend to support them. Not one. They'll stand before God alone. And the great judge upon the throne, even King Jesus, will open the books. And all the actions and behavior of every man and woman will be found written in those books. And we read Revelation 20:13, they were judged, every man, according to their works. Every man, notice that. Nobody left out. Every man, every individual. No friends now supporting the rebel and Ananias on his own to face the judgment of King Solomon. So we see the declaration that Solomon is king. We see the desertions and Solomon became king. Then we notice Adonijah and his dread. No throne, no friends, no supporters. Only King Solomon to face. He was full of dread. Look at verse 50. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon. He was afraid of Solomon. And Solomon executing judgment upon him because of his rebellion. He had every right to fear. Rebels have every right to fear. Those who rebel against King Jesus have every right to fear. And Adonijah would face the king, as every rebel one day will face the king, King Jesus. Face the sword of his wrath. And God will say to every rebel, depart from me. I never knew you. We have no need to doubt or wonder what King Jesus will do. For we're told in Matthew 25 and 4, then shall the king say, King Jesus. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verse 40, the king shall reject those who rejected him. No one wants to hear those words from the lips of King Jesus. So instead of rebelling against the Lord Jesus, it is far better for sinners to bow the knee now before the King of Kings, accept him the Savior, acknowledge him as Lord and King of your life. But considered his rebellion, considered his realization, and leads us now to consider his rescue. His rescue. Here we see how Adonijah was a rebel, and we see now how the rebel was rescued from the judgment of King Solomon. First of all, we see his place. Look at his place. Look at verse 50 again. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. You might say, well, isn't that strange? He arose immediately and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. That would be the brazen altar. Upon the brazen altar was fire. On the fire was put a sacrifice. Blood had been shed. The sacrifice was offered to God on behalf of sin. Where does that lead us? Sure, it leads us to Calvary. And here you have Adonijah, and he goes and he lays hold upon the horns of the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice and blood. And that's where salvation is sought. That's where salvation is found. It's found at the place of sacrifice and blood. That place, of course, for us today is Calvary. Christ the sacrifice, yea, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There his blood was shed. And what are we told? We learned it this morning. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no sending away of our sin. There's no turning of God's wrath from us. And the blood that was shed on that altar called Calvary was the blood of the Lamb. What did we sing tonight? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So they have Adonai and his place. He went to the altar of sacrifice and blood. As well as his place, we see his pardon. King Solomon was told where his rebellious brother Adonai was. Verse 51. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonai feareth King Solomon, for lo, he had caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But a wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. In other words, when Solomon was told that Adonai feared him, they went and held on to the horns of the altar. Well, we see what Solomon said. In other words, Solomon pardoned him. He told him not a hair of his head would fall to the ground. He pardoned him on the ground of being at that brazen altar where the sacrifice was made and where the blood of the sacrifice was shed. Yes, he received pardon. I think of that. Who was it pardoned him? The one he had rejected. Who was it pardoned him? The one that he thought nothing about. Who was it pardoned him? The one who basically said, I will not have this man to rule over me. I will be king. In other words, the one whom he rejected was the one who pardoned him. What a wonderful picture we have here of the Lord Jesus Christ, who pardons sinners. He's the one who is offended. He was the one who is rejected. And yet he's the one who shows mercy and grace. For by grace are you saved. Just as Paul the Apostle said of himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Who from? From the Lord, the one who made persecuted. You know what the Lord said there, whenever he appeared unto Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And yet he was the one who pardoned Saul. He was the one who forgave Saul. The one who had been persecuted was the one who pardoned the apostle. And the one whom Ananias had persecuted and stood against and rejected was the one who pardoned him. Haven't we a wonderful Savior? And you know something? He hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's unchanging and unchangeable. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. He's still pardoning sinners today. He's still saving souls today. Because his blood shall never lose its power. So Lord, the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. But notice this place, at the place of sacrifice and blood. And notice his pardon. Then we notice his peace. Solomon promised Adonijah that he would not face any rebellion or any judgment from him because of his rebellion. Now Adonijah acknowledges Solomon as king. And Solomon sends Adonijah home in peace. Verse 53. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. See? Something he never would have done before. Now he bows, and by so doing, acknowledges Solomon as king. And Solomon said unto him, "Go to thine house. Go in peace. The sword of judgment would not fall upon Adonijah. He'd been to the place of sacrifice and blood. He'd been pardoned. And now King Solomon sent them home in peace." Is that what Christ does? Doesn't he send all repentant sinners home in peace? Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." What a wonderful story we have. The gospel story never ceases to amaze, never ceases to cause us to wonder. And here we have a rebel who was rescued from the sword of judgment because he went to that place of sacrifice and blood. And it's the same way. It's the same plan of salvation. Nothing has changed. We see it in types and forms in the Old Testament and fulfilled completely on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." The rescue of a rebel. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Oh,
our dear Lord and loving God, we rejoice in the plan of salvation. Not devised in the mind of the Son of Adam, but there was wrought in heaven the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We thank thee, dear Lord, again for sending thy Son into the world to be the propitiation of our sins. O Lord, I pray that even tonight, somewhere, hearing this word, will by the need of Christ acknowledge him as their King, make him their Savior, and know the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Dear Lord, be with each one of us here now as we leave the Lord's house. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep us safe on the highways. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Keep us healthy and well and safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.